een Chinese agent, spion, ambtenaar, zou informatie wel gestolen of verkregen hebben van General Electric Electronics. Zo, GE Electronics. Dus dat is een dochterondernemer van General Electric, een van de grootste bedrijven ter wereld. En een belangrijke onderaannemer of aannemer van de militaire industrie. Wat er is gebeurd, een Amerikaanse werknemer van GE Electronics zou hem informatie doorgespeeld hebben, die Chinees. Die meneer heet Xi, geloof ik, maar hij had dan, zou dan ook andere namen gebruikt hebben, Zhang Hui of Zhang Zhongxu. In elk geval, de Chinees en de man van GE Electronics werden in april in Brussel aangehouden. En ik denk dat ze dus op weg waren naar een universitair symposium of zoiets. En wat is er dan gebeurd? Dus uiteindelijk is de Chinees 10 dagen geleden dus uitgeleverd, de 10e oktober, terug naar de Verenigde Staten van Amerika. En de werknemer die is ontslagen. Dus blijkbaar, ja, moest hij echt spion geweest zijn of meegedaan hebben, dan zouden ze hem natuurlijk ook vervolgd hebben. Dus waarschijnlijk heeft die mens juridisch niks misdaan. Waarom wordt hij ontslagen? Misschien omdat hij... het zou kunnen zijn dat je natuurlijk wel informatie doorspeelt, maar zonder dat je beseft met wie je te doen hebt. Die agent, toen ging hij te werk, of die man van de Chinees. Hij had nodig technologische experts uit voor presentaties aan universiteiten, dus ook in België en in China. Aan de Nanjing University of Aeronautics and Astronomies in UAE. Daar was hij dan aan verbonden. Hij zei daarbij soms dat hij lid was van de Jiangsu Science and Technology Promotion Association. En de aanklacht tegen de man, die dus ook gewoon op het internet staat, staat er dat de NUAA, dus die universiteit, samenwerkt met militaire bedrijven. Nu, ja, ik denk dat er bepaalde universiteiten zijn in de Verenigde Staten die ook samenwerken met militaire bedrijven. Hè. Maar we gaan eens Dirk Monroe beluisteren die dat... stuk hier inleidt. Wat is dat? Nummer 2. Goed. En Dirk Monroe over de Chinezen en de Amerikanen.
There is, well, what happened was there was a allegedly Chinese government operative that was trying to steal information, proprietary information, technical information, allegedly, from GE Aviation, which is one of the major subcontractors to our military industrial complex. Apparently the approach was to contact this employee, or this employee contacted him, and there was some kind of offer to make a presentation in a university in China or some kind of conference and symposium. And what happened was there was an exchange of information, and this employee apparently is a somewhat low level employee, did not have any classified informations on him, or he disclosed any information on him. And GE specifically even made a point to this degree, there is really no damage done because of this case. At one point, Xu invited this employee to go to Belgium to meet him and to basically partake some kind of conference. And I think it was in Brussels. And what happened was when they both arrived, they both got arrested, and Xu has been recently extradited to the United States to face charges of espionage. And the other guy apparently was fired from his job, the American guy. But apparently there's no charges filed against him because Attorney General's Office of Ohio, where the federal district, apparently the guy didn't break any laws. Therefore, they really cannot go after the guy. So they got going after the Chinese guy.
Voilà, tot zover Dirk Monroe met het eerste deeltje over de zaak van de Chinezen. Ja, ik zie dat ik heb op Nottingham, de Universiteit van Nottingham, heb ik ergens nog een link gevonden naar de Chinezen of naar de universiteit. En die is dan verwijderd, dus dat is inderdaad wel interessant. Maar er is dus meer aan de hand. Hè. En dan komen we bij het volgende stuk, wat gaat eigenlijk voorbij, die specifieke would-be spionagezaak. Wat hem verontrust, Dirk Monroe, dat is dat er een uitspraak is van de aanklager tijdens het onderzoek. Dus de USA Assistant Attorney General van het district Ohio, Benjamin Glassman, stelde dat any attempt by other countries to grow companies at America's expense is considered a threat to national security. So dus iedere poging van andere landen om bedrijven te laten groeien, van hun bedrijf te laten groeien, te kosten van Amerika wordt beschouwd als een bedreiging van de Amerikaanse veiligheid.
Heeft het dan te maken met die enorme afhankelijkheid van het Amerikaanse bedrijfsleven van overheids- en defensiecontracten?
Wel, dat is de vraag inderdaad hoe je dat moet interpreteren. Hè. Ik had met Dirk Monroe aan de lijn en hij interpreteerde dat vooral dat het een soort, en daar komen we bij corporatism was, dat eigenlijk de overheid is die zich inzet, die zich als advocaat van de private industrie.
Een beetje zoals we het hebben gezien op het einde en het begin van de 20e eeuw met de befaamde rubber barons, de Carnegies, de Standard Oils van die tijd, die zo ongeveer ook het hele Amerikaanse bedrijfsleven in hun greep hadden.
Mm-hmm. Wel, het is niet het Amerikaanse bedrijfsleven, het is de overheid die ze in hun greep hebben. Dat is een punt, dus dat is de attorney general, dus de aanklager die een overheidsman is, dat hij zegt van, als er in buitenland een overheid is die onze bedrijven schade aandoet of benadeligt, ja, dat kan gewoon concurrentie zijn, dan is dat een bedreiging voor onze veiligheid. Hè. Dus het gaat niet alleen over spionage van technologiebedrijven, zoals het geval van GE Electronics, maar het kan om het even wat gaan, hè. Maar ik zal dat een keer laten over. Dat is het derde stuk van Monroe vandaag. Dat staat...
But what's really interesting was the indictment of the Chinese guy and how it was covered in the U.S. media, specifically the Associated Press. For example, U.S. Assistant Attorney General of Ohio District Benjamin Glassman stated that any attempt by other countries to grow companies at America's expense is considered a threat to national security. And let me tell you what the sentence actually means. Let's say you are an executive of the chocolate company in Belgium, and American company wants to come to your market. Therefore, if they want to launch some kind of chocolate product, therefore you basically hire the guy from the competition that obviously has a know-how how to operate not only in the U.S. or European markets or what have you. So obviously, the gentleman that you're going to hire has obviously most likely a non-compete agreement for, let's say, 1 or 2 or 3 years, which whether you respect or not, it's your prerogative, your business. Hopefully you do. But if you hire someone from the competition to help your business and obviously benefiting from the know-how of the gentleman you hire, then obviously you're setting up yourself from civil lawsuit in a civil disposition, monetary damages, it's all good and dandy. But it's coming place, the argument is being brought forward like this now, that if any company or any country it's actually going to perform any kind of profitable business in America's corporate defense, this is actually becoming a national security issue. So this is truly scary because so it's not only a quote-unquote the argument of law that's being presented here, whether there are any kind of economic damage done to the company, regardless of the sector, because Mr. Glassman was very precise. When attorney generals usually give a degree of presentation such as this to the media, this was actually done during a press conference in Ohio, they're very careful what they what they communicating. What happens is when they present the case, they're communicating a certain set of information and values. They're supposed to be taken seriously, most likely as a warning shot to the business community or the perpetrators or individuals who are thinking about doing the same thing. So this is extremely serious. Now, that any kind of dispute that arises from commercial relationship, whatever that is, whatever the background circumstance, you know, even if it's got nothing to do with the weapons, nothing to do with some kind of secret operations, what have you, now it's going to be becoming an issue of national security.
So it's any private issue of a or business issue of a private company is national, becomes national.
I mean, this is quintessential of corporatism and fascism, because it appears now that a corporate agenda is becoming national agenda.
Ja, dus de corporate agenda becomes national agenda, Dirk Monroe. Ja, dus het is toch op verre hand, dus die uitspraak van die aanklager. Iedere poging van andere landen om bedrijven te laten groeien ten koste van Amerika wordt beschouwd als een bedreiging van de Amerikaanse veiligheid. Dus het punt is een beetje dus dat de man eigenlijk zegt dat concurrentie tegen Amerikaanse private bedrijven een bedreiging kan zijn of is voor het ganse land. Dus kapitalisme en vrijheid van ondernemen. Ik zou net denken dat het juist gaat over het beconcurreren van bedrijven tegen elkaar. Dus ook zeker boven de grenzen als het over globalisering gaat. Voilà, een plaatje. En dan gaan we verder, want voilà, dus Dirk Monroe was nog niet helemaal uitgesproken. Generation X, maart 78. We waren bij Dirk Monroe, hè, en we gaan hem, hij is nog niet uitgesproken. Hè. Allee, hij is helemaal nog niet uitgesproken, maar hij heeft nog een laatste woord van 6 minuten te zeggen over die uitspraak van die Amerikaanse aanklager Benjamin Glassman. Hoe vergaand dat eigenlijk zou kunnen zijn. Dus iedere poging van andere landen om bedrijven te laten groeien ten koste van Amerika wordt beschouwd als een bedreiging van de Amerikaanse veiligheid. En hij verwijst naar een documentaire La Guerre du Grain. Blijkbaar is hij daar zelf nog bij betrokken geweest. Hij heeft daar ergens informatie aan de makers van die documentaire geleverd. Die documentaire is gratis te bekijken. We zullen daar ook naartoe linken. Latelelibre.fr. En het gaat over de praktijken van de agro-industrie. Dus bedrijven zoals Monsanto en Cargill. Een concurrent zou kunnen verwijzen naar die film bijvoorbeeld, om de praktijken, de praktijken van die bedrijven aan de kaak gesteld. En een ander bedrijf zou kunnen zijn, kijk, Monsanto en Cargill, die werken niet ethisch, wij doen dat wel. Dus op basis van die wet zou Monsanto, dus Dirk Monroe, aangezien dat hij meegewerkt is aan die film, voor een federale rechtbank kunnen slepen. Dus dat is het punt dat Dirk Monroe hier maakt, and we zullen dat eens laten horen.
It is scary, and I'll give you a personal example. Several years ago, I worked on a documentary for Canal Plus, the movie called The War of the Grains, The Guerre des Grains. We had a French team come in here into the U.S., and we were basically working on exposure a way of how Cargill, Monsanto, and other corporations do business. This documentary was aired pretty much all over the world. The team from Paris got really good reviews on this. And what happens if some other party, let's say competitor to Monsanto or Cargill, takes elements of this documentary and makes it a commercial out of this, basically promoting their business on a quote-unquote humanitarian basis, or basically say, well, we are good people, we don't do business this way, and there's a, let's say, clip from the documentary. And this was actually, documentary took place in several different continents. They went to Asia, they went to South America, to Brazil, I believe, US and Europe, what have you. What happens now, since I participated in this, Cargill, Monsanto, anybody else that feels their business was hurt by this, can simply drag the case, not only the civil case against me, regardless of the merit, what I said, whatever was included, documentary was true or not, it's completely immaterial. They simply can fill out the case stating that I endangered their business, that I hurt them economically, and this football now automatically is becoming a national security issue. So I can be convicted or dragged in front of the federal court just like some kind of terrorist. I mean, this is truly unprecedented. I follow the law, the legal cases here, and this is something that's really, unless obviously there's an espionage case.
But he says it's any attempt by other countries to grow companies at America's expense. So yeah. Would that apply to your example?
Well, other party would be for, let's say, there's a state-owned company somewhere.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it can be a private company that's partially owned by the government. Or, you know, and how do you characterize this?
So if that company is then competing with Google, just to say something, or an American telecom company, then it would be subject to, American jurisdiction because of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And having national security state. And this can actually extend to media, for example. When I used to publish on RT, which owned by the Russian government, Now the argument can be made that, okay, well, RT is partly owned by the Russian government, therefore they're Russian government. Therefore, anything reported that comes out of them is injurious to our corporate sector. Therefore, we can actually throw national security charges on this. So this is not only a quote-unquote commercial, purely commercial basis that this is really developing into, but this can go into many different spheres
okay.
right now.
So this was the U.S. attorney, assistant attorney general, Ohio district, who
yes,
who said this. So what is to which extent is this law or is this actually going to be implemented? This statement.
It's kind of hard to tell. In this case of the Zhu and G Aviation is sort of across, you know, warning shot.
Yeah, because is it more than just an opinion that this man gives?
I think it is possibly more, specifically with Trump administration, you know, starting trade wars against different entities, countries, what have you, uh-huh. and they may use this as a tool in their repertoire. Say, well, not that, you know, we can ratchet up not only to the tariff situation, but we can also bring those issues up to the national security game. Okay. So this is really. You know, those things don't happen in a vacuum. As bad as Obama administration was about issues such as this, you know, with, you know, basically getting rid of habeas corpus and, you know, and assassinations in a corporate world. And when it comes to the civil litigation, it was fairly standard. And now we have an environment right now that it's going to bring it up to a completely different level. And it is scary. But it's also what's interesting to me was I called up the Associated Press office in Cincinnati that covered this, and I spoke with one of the editors and writers who actually wrote this piece. And she would basically refuse to answer any questions on this. And I said to her, are you, as a journalist, trained journalist, professional, don't you see what it's getting? Why nobody ask any questions about this? I mean, her response was, well, I think there are some other people in the room that might ask questions such as this. But well, I'm sorry, maybe there were, but you're the Associated Press. You're one of the most important news organizations in the world to make sure that the whole full spectrum of this story and angles are being presented to the readership, to your viewing
okay.
public.
But AP is an American company, no?
Yes, it is.
So it's not a concern to American companies. It's more a concern to non-American journalists and companies and governments.
Things like this don't happen in a vacuum. So it's quite possible that other countries can come up with a similar justification and start going after the corporate, you know, personnel of people from different countries as well. This is a give and take game here, where just like in a trade war, where you have a situation where certain elements are only kept to the economic sphere, but there's different political and social economic repercussions. And this one of the social economic and political repercussions is exactly this case right here. It appears that the government is ratcheting up pressure on this, going into the field of national security, which is really dangerous. Because
to which extent is this U.S. Attorney General from the Ohio District, Benjamin Glassman, is he linked to Trump? Because you say he says that, but then Trump can go along and make it law.
Look, it's a federal position, Department of Justice. So, as you know, there's been a lot of internal tug of war, not only about the indictments against Trump for they never came, Manafort and things like this. So there's been a lot of there's basically a bureaucratic civil war taking place, not only within the FBI but also DOJ and other places, that were, you know, it's kind of hard to tell exactly politically how those you know lines are drawn here. But I can tell you for a fact, just dealing with government myself, those things don't happen in a vacuum, you know. And there's obviously a very maybe a political pressure to make something like this happen.
Those things don't happen in a vacuum. Dat is de uitspraak van Dirk Monro van de dag. Die had het wel een aantal keren aan. Dus tot zover eigenlijk het corporate. Wel, niet helemaal. Corporatism. We gaan eerst een plaatje draaien en dan hebben we een andere zaak over. Hier ging het eigenlijk over de bescherming van bedrijven door de overheid. Straks hebben we het over voedselveiligheid, waar het blijkbaar ook het een en ander verkeerd loopt in de VSA. Muziekje.